Okay, let's just take this time and commit to the Lord and also prepare our hearts. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your mercy and grace, and above all for the salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, for the shed blood, for the work on the cross, and there's nothing we could do but only trust and depend on your work, Lord, on the cross, and Lord, your precious blood that washes and cleanses us from all sin. We thank you for the blessed hope even as we go through our earthly walk here as pilgrim. We can always look for your coming and also for the blessed hope in heaven to be with you forever and ever in glory. Father, we pray even as we approach your word, we ask that you first of all cleanse us and wash us with that precious blood, that there will be nothing between. And also, Lord, that our hearts, our attitude and everything, our soul, Lord, will be drawn to you because you love us. And Lord, we want to come and in humble submission, Lord, love you and want to listen to your word, and Lord, with the attitude to obey. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will so move in our hearts and then speak to us and convince and convict us, and that we may respond according to your great work, Lord. And Lord, that you will bless us. We know, Lord, it is your will to bless us, to want us to have the abundant life that you promised in John 10. And we pray, Father, that you will just help us to yearn and to desire for the things that are above, and your presence and your power and your provision and blessing will be upon us, Lord. We just commit this time to you. Bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, just a quick recap. You know, after last Sunday, I went back, I was thinking through about the whole session that we have. And, you know, I just feel that we didn't really have a good overall picture about the matter of separation. Just as a recap, I laid the ground by telling, reminding all of us that God wants to bless us, that it is God's will for us to enjoy the fellowship with Him and enjoy the blessing that He wants us to have, just like Him. When He first created Adam and Eve, it is His goal and purpose to just allow Adam and Eve to have that wonderful fellowship and blessing of the provision, Garden of Eden, all the creation is for man to enjoy. And we must have that attitude that deep within our heart, without a shadow of doubt, whenever we think of God, when we think of what He says and what He wants us to do, and whatever that that was taught, given to us through His Word, it is all for our own good. It is all because God wants us to maintain that, preserve that condition, the fellowship and the blessing and all those. So the love of God must be something that will motivate us and cause us to want to come to these topics. Huh? And then we went into this matter of what is the world, you know. We need to be very clear that in the context of John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, talking about not the things of this world that God created, you know, not the things that God even is made by man culturally or whatever, as long as it's not contrary to in any way God's word, innocent thing, they so-called, made by man, or the things that perhaps even is a neutral, amoral, whatever. In this study, it's not referring to that. But what it is referring to the world system, the philosophy, the value system, all right? And then, of course, it comes in many forms, in materialism, in hedonism, in there's this eat, drink, and be merry, and then we all die, or some who have this, oh, you just do what you can, because after all, and humanism and all those kind of things, all right? It is referring to this, because, and then we also trace back into what is the origin. How do this world system, value system, philosophy and everything... We have to remember that as far as this world is concerned, it came from man. And man, but from moment of Adam, all right now, we're all, Bible tells us, we all have sinned. And we are in open rebellion towards God, will not come and want to love God thing and everything. And the devil is the one behind all this, you know. He's the god of this world, and he's the one that controlling and influencing and using all this, the world, all right, to try to stop us from having the fellowship with God and the blessing of God and all those things. And it's very important for us to really personally to have a reality that what is this world and what this world is going to trying to do to us. You know, Satan is working very hard, because the Bible tells us, in fact, in John 15, and that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Christ tells us, last week I mentioned, he's not of this world, that's why the people hate him. And because we also are of Christ, and we are not of this world, and the people will hate us when we stand the truth, when we live the way God wants us to live. The world will not accept us. The world will find us different. And of course, separation, one of the things we realize from the Old Testament, even from a time where God called Abraham and raised a nation, Israel, it is to separate the people that he has called and to be a peculiar nation, to be a, to differentiate ourselves, that we're not no longer the same as the people of the world. So we need to have this in our heart, in our mind, that this is what I am, this is what God has for me, and how am I going to be able to continue to stand on that position and are willing and are open to work towards that separation. All right, we also went into the matter of what this matter of separation does not mean that we just isolate, stay in a mountain and then like a hermit, you know, in an island all by ourselves. No, it's not isolation. It's not even like some of the religion that you know, go stay in a monastery, stay in whatever, you know, and then just, again, it's not a monasticism. It's not also Arminianism or whatever it is, that you have a community, that we all just practice certain kind of lifestyle and all this to differentiate ourselves. It's not that. But the Bible tells us that the world, how we relate with the world is that we should, first of all, love not the world. Because in that, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, what does it mean not to love the world? First of all, the Bible tells us what is in this world. The world basically catered to three channels, in a sense, in order to allow the flesh to enjoy the kind of gratification and to promote sin through the flesh. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the three channels from Genesis, even in the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is just actively using, and he's still using it. It never changed. And we see in the real life how the world live their life. It's just basically through the lust of the flesh. You know, gratification, you know, think of whatever that you can think of related to the body, it will just, some even pervert it to such an extent where it's so obvious. And then the lust of the eye, you know, what I see, I want. In fact, Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, tells us that he has gone through these three. He has enjoyed this as far as he's concerned. In his position, no man can compare with him. Lust of the flesh. He has how many wives and concubines, you know? And he can have all the food, all the everything, the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the eye, whatever he sees, he gets it. He wants to build, he wants to do this, he wants to do that, he does everything. And the pride of life, of course, something that we have to be very careful. You know, some of the philosophy that from young we will be bombarded is study hard, work hard, so you get a good search, you get a good job, you get a good life, you get a good life, you can, you know, and then corporate ladder, you climb, all those, all because of pride, a lot of pride and all those kind. You want to be better than others, you want to be in control of yourself, you want to be like God, all right? So this is something that we see as far as biblical separation, is that it is love not the world. The other thing, of course, when we talk about how we relate with the world, not only we are not to love the world, we're not to conform ourselves to the thinking of this world. In Romans 12:2, we're not conformed, you know. It will be squeezed into the mold, the philosophy, the value system, and everything. Unless we see very clearly what the world is trying to do through the media, particularly. Through every day as we go through, wake up first thing in the morning, as you walk out, the advertisement, the people, the way, and things around are all pressing us into a mold that the world wants us to have, so that we can adopt the kind of philosophy, the kind of value system, and all those. All right, so we need to be very careful what goes into our mind, and we need to check and ask the Lord, Lord, is this something that is according to what you want us to have to develop the kind of value system? Of course, when we look at in this world, there's always two things. It's either the good or bad, the right or wrong, evil or holy, or holy or profane. There's a choice that we have to make to choose. You can't run away from it. So in this aspect of separation, God wants us to choose. All right, and of course, the way to for blessing and for protection and for whatever God wants us to do to us to, in this life is for us to separate as God has taught us. And then there's the last one. James put it a little bit more stronger. All right, this matter of if you were to be not a friend of the world, because if you are doing that, you'd be the adulterer and adulteresses. All right. So when we think about this matter of friend of the world, there are many aspects of it. We're in this world. We undoubtedly will have friends that are unsaved, and even our relatives and people around us, our own family, that are unsaved. And sometimes we may have to make certain stand, right? When we are being asked to be like them, and you know, Pastor Johnny and myself, we share some experience about this matter of. I used to, last time, my daughter was wise, you know, to remind me. After I came out of the Navy, we're still very close, those that were work. They'll still call us and say, let's go have a meeting and for old time's sake, you know, just catch up and all those kind of things. Of course, the place that they asked for, you know, karaoke. So, you thought more of the coming together, catching up with old time, rather than, you know, well, make a stand or say something or do something and express your faith in a more impactful way. It's an opportunity for you to learn how to be separated. So, you know, things like that. Friend asks you to go something, do something to with them, and then there are many aspects. It's something for us to think about. So, Bible tells us that we're not to be friend of the world because as far as God is concerned, like, for example, choosing God's people with the world people to have fellowship with is one area that we also need to consider, all right? And, of course, it's a thing for us to check. Why do we love the people of the world and want to have fellowship with them more and not with the people of God and all those? It's all about back to our hearts and what our relationship with God. Now, with that, we actually went into this matter of how strict should we have, and we went into some of the verses in about separation. That's where we got stuck a little bit longer, you know, and Pastor Johnny raised a question, and we dwell into some of it. I hope during that time when we had that kind of discussion and back and forth, it will keep us and help us thinking about ourselves, our life as a Christian. How have we been in this issue? And that we ask God to help us to just confront ourselves, let God confront us, and then speak to us, and then deal with us, and then be willing to respond. I'm sure, you know, even as I think of this whole issue, frankly, I think it's not easy. Because we live in a world, from the moment we wake up, from the moment we were born, especially for the young, you know, my children and some of those people are coming up. Day in, day out, they are being exposed and for some of us, we are not as vigilant as what we should. For the way of life in Singapore, there's so many things coming and distract us and everything. It just get in, beat. Even ourselves, I believe. Myself, I when I look at it, there's a lot of things that I need to come back and need to ask the Lord and check my heart and do something and work on something and pray about it. And even certain things that the Lord has worked in my heart to change, to do something about it. Okay? So, as far as the verses like Ephesians 5:11, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, you have your verse there. Can we just read through some of these verses? And then, just remind ourselves, and this one, we have talked about how strict should our separation be. It's something that, of course, if you can go as close as possible to where God wants us to be, that's the best. Okay? Let me read just to you Ephesians 5:11, and you have in your sheet there, there's the memory verse. My apology is a bit too small. I try to increase it as big as I can to maximize the page and also to, instead of one big page, can save some toner and some paper. Okay, Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. So we need to take note of no fellowship and no with the unfruitful work of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. 1 Peter 1:14-15 tell us that as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the what? Former lust in your ignorance, but as he which is had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We know the word holy has a very basic meaning of being set apart, separated. God save us so that he set us apart to live a life that will be for him and to him. You know? So it's something that we have to come back and then deal with this and then so that we can be real. We can be the people that when God says we are peculiar people, when God says we are separated, that holy, you know, it is true, it is real. So that our life will speak volume. And even when we talk about separation, it is not something of a hypocrisy and things like that. All right. Now, this morning, I would like for us to look into the other aspect about what separation in 2 Timothy 2:22 is in a positive way. You know, again, I want to bring us back to this matter that please, when we think of separation, it is given to us in the Word of God. If God asks us to do something, what is our thinking and attitude about that? It's the same thing like when, you know, some of us were parents. As parents, we tell our children, please don't do this, and please do this, and this is good for you. Sometimes the children would say, why? I like this. I enjoy doing what I'm doing and all this. Why you ask me to do something that you will say, oh, I know best. I know what is best for you and good for you. And I'm doing it because I love you and I want you to do what is good and right for you. But at the moment, when the child don't see what they should see, it's very hard for them to obey. But of course, some will obey because if there is a genuine love for the parent, and the parent, yes, Papa, yes, Mama, I'll do it. Because Papa, Mama, you love me, I love you. And what you say, I'll just obey, even I don't like. And that's the most wonderful and most ideal kind of way of, you know, relating and helping one another. The parent fulfill its role to watch, to teach, to train, and then to make sure the child grew up in a way. The child responds with love, with appreciation, with the thought daddy knows best and daddy, what daddy say is for my own good. In the same way, I believe when we approach this issue, we need to have that fear of the Lord, that love for God, the attitude that God, you love me, you save me, you give me your most precious begotten son, and you have whatever you say, whatever you do, it's all for my good and for the best in your heart. We have to have that. So it will make us, when we think about obeying God and doing what God wants us to do, it is not a burdensome, it's not a struggle, it's not something of, but you're willing. It's that heart that are willing to say, because of all this understanding, that yes, I will do what God says, because God is always right. God will always do what is good for me and for everything. I want to establish this because, you know, as a believer, we don't change because of somebody says. If we change because of somebody says, or because a culture or some kind of thing that obligate us or even impose upon us, or even we change for the sake of so that we can fit in or whatever it is, then that is not a change that God wants us to have. Because at the end, there is no relationship directly. There is the love, there is the responding, there is the... God knows everything. But when we have that and we build on that, it becomes easier. It becomes natural, spiritually speaking. The spiritual aspect must be taken care of before the matter of God's word can become an impact, a catalyst to change to the working of the Holy Spirit and all those. So let's look at this, and I want for us to have that. And you consider that, all right? As we look into this, like The point that separation is actually a spiritual and moral protection for us. Let's read at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Paul's instruction to Timothy was, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Well, when you Paul used the word flee, has a very as a meaning of you are running away from something that is very dangerous, right? You know, we have this bombing thing going on. The moment there's an explosion, boom, you see what people do? They run away as far as possible. When there is any disaster or whatever it is, people run away from danger for fear of endangering themselves. When we talk about separation from certain things, if we don't have a concept that it is a dangerous thing to our soul and to our fellowship with God, and also that our testimony and whatever, we do not have the way we see it as the way God sees it, it will not impact us in a very big way, in a very, I would say, real sense. We're just, okay, no problem, you know. We go a lot by feeling and by how the culture, how we have been used to it. Many years ago, I heard of a preacher who uses this analogy. I think it's very, very, very true, very relevant. That's how we are desensitized and conditioned. That was way back, by the way, in the 80s when I heard this. And it stuck in my mind for a long time when I considered things. You say, how do you cook a frog without the frog realizing that? You heard this story before. And I've seen really a real experiment of someone who really cooked a frog, slowly increasing the temperature, little bit by little bit and by little bit. The frog doesn't move at all. Before you realize it, the frog is cooked in the same position. Exactly the same. You should watch it. And that's how the world desensitizes us. That's how the world conditions us. You know, way back many years ago, when we talk about those advertisements and those very scantily dressed and all those kind of things, it's very unheard of. It's only when you go, you know, people will go and find ways, I mean, they go and find it, magazine or whatever, and then, they will just privately go and, they will not do it in the open. In those days, our dressing is definitely a lot more modest than even today. I used to travel last time in 1976. I still remember to Australia. In Singapore, when we go shopping center, or last time it's Emporium, then we always wear a proper one, you know. But when I was in Australia, in Darwin, the people there wear short and swimsuit and just walk in and out. And during those times, in the 1970s plus and near to 80. And here we are, we'll make a lot of big fuss. In fact, throughout, if you've grown out of it, you will see that a lot of things happen. The society make a lot of noise and all those kind of things. But gradually, the noise get softer, lesser. Eventually, no more problem really. Eventually, everybody is wearing and doing. You know, we're getting so used to it. Our conscience, the way we see the issue become no longer an issue. Why? Because the way the world want us is like cooking us in a slow and, you know, like the frog. Okay, yes. Okay. I think as far, you are right, I totally agree with you that as far as God is concerned, All sin are sin. It doesn't matter, big sin, small sin. Even for a sin, a lie, God will still send Jesus to come and die on the cross to pay for that sin. In God's eye, the absence of sin is absolute. No sin, no matter how big or how small. Secondly, I think God's will for his people is never to look at sin, big or small. As long as sin, we are to not sin. We're not to even, you know, let's give an example. For me, I do not think that any, to think of sin is big and small, and they are sin as far as God is concerned. Yes. I think in context, as far as David is concerned, David realized, I believe, that what he's capable of sinning. You know, as far as being a saved person and unsaved person, what's the difference? Actually, we both have the potential to do either way. Sorry, the unsaved have the only one way, and that is they will just sin and sin and sin and sin. They cannot have control over sin. They have no power over the sin. When sin say lie, steal, cheat, do whatever, they will because they're under the bondage and the power of sin. They have not broken free from the sin. But as believer, we do have the new nature. As believer, we have the power to say no to sin. All right. And as far as I'm concerned, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we will have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean that we will not go to the other side. If we choose not to walk in the Spirit, we are still capable and have the potential to do the greatest sin and evil that a non-believer would do. We still have that. I give you an example. I'm sure you heard of many pastors, many great men of God who committed adultery. David himself is a very good example. He is called a man after God's own heart, but yet he committed the most, in the eyes of even the heathen, they're no different. Murder and also adultery. So as far as I'm concerned, we should not even consider, the only thing I would think of bigger sin and smaller sin is that in judgment, our sin will be punished according to that severity, to the sin. I believe that those people in hell will still receive different kind of punishment, but they still suffer, you know, it's just a matter of greater, and it doesn't make any difference in a sense. But to the people in hell, it makes a lot of difference. In the same way, as believers, when we are at the judgment seat of Christ, it's a time of reckoning whether we are receiving reward or we are receiving rebuke or just empty-handed and then for the sin, you know. What I'm trying to say is that as far as when we look at sin, it's not about big, small, how, whatever it is. It's that what God sees, and then we'll see the same way God sees, and that's it. I believe. God. I'm talking about God. I believe, you know.
So, first of all, you said that there are probably different levels of punishment. Likewise, I would assume that there are different levels of reward.
I think there are two things we need to consider. One is the way we look at sin. When people commit sin at different, you see, like genocides by Hitler and all those kind of things, millions of lives have been affected. Okay? And, as compared to someone who petty crime and all those kind of things, these two people will go to hell. I believe Hitler will get greater and more severe suffering and torment in hell than, but both will still be suffering and tormenting. It's just that in their own resurrected body, they experience a different intensity. You know, that is as far as. When we look at sin in that, it will sort of give us warning, help us to be mindful. But as far as when we look at sin, our attitude is that as far as God is concerned, Sin is a, I give you one very simple example. When I got saved, last time it's bus ticket, you know. And it's a tendency after that you just throw. But God worked in my heart. I stopped throwing even a bus ticket, even a little piece of paper. I stopped because I was conscious that that is not, is you break the law, littering. Okay? And as far as I'm concerned, that little thing, some people say you drop it, what's the big deal? Just a little piece of paper only. Right? It's not that you're hurting someone or causing a lot of environmental problem or whatever it is. But as far as my attitude is concerned, in the eyes of God, as far as I see it, I thank God that I see it as sin, the way God sees it. And that's why I didn't do it. You know? So, my feedback to you is, as much as possible, when we look at sin, you see that when we look at sin, we see sin can be from here to all the way. There's no limit as far as sin is concerned. How hideous, how evil and wicked a sin can do to a person, you know, through sin, is from here, or the spectrum is so wide you can't imagine. And that is sin. As far as God is concerned, they're all the same. And when we look at it, we will. That's something that God will have to have mercy and help us to see. And that's what this separation is all about. Because some of the things that we do in terms of so-called entertainment and whatever, our lifestyle and all this, we don't see that it is, as far as God is concerned, God does not. It doesn't please God and doesn't glorify God or anything like that. So, you know, I hope I answered that, lah. I know that there will be the right crown of different crown that will be awarded. Okay? But as to different kind of reward, I don't think the Bible is very specific and clear, but the principle is simply that what we do in the name of Christ and for the glory of God and the kingdom of God, Paul gave a very, very good of his own testimony and his firm conviction about why he do what he do and what he is looking forward to is that one day he will receive whatever work that's done, different crown that he will get from Christ and he will be able to place in the feet of Christ and give back to Christ to glorify Christ.
Thank you.
Okay, in any case, let's come back to this. I want to ask to have this thought in our mind when we think about separation, is that it's for our spiritual and moral protection. Because God, as earlier I laid the ground, God doesn't want to rob us of joy, of enjoying the thing that He has for us, you know, even this so-called pleasure. Pleasure can come, of course, in many different forms to different people. Taking a walk, watching the sunset in the park is a pleasure to many people, to some people, but it's not, it's boring to some, you know, but to some people, going to a rock concert or, you know, watching their idol and all this is pleasure to them, all right? Some people staring at the fish tank is pleasure to them, you know, watching the fish swim, come, and then they're different. But the key thing here is whatever we engage with, that there is a principle from the Word of God to guide us that to maintain a relationship with God that says, God, this pleasure I'm very thankful that I can enjoy, you know, that I that helped me to relax and all those. But if we engage in something that we will say, God, this is something that is not honoring, it's not something that I should, because it is violating some of the principle, how are we going to ask God to help us in all this? So it's something that I believe it affects every one of us in this modern day. No one can escape that, but we have to deal with it. How is for you and each and every one of us to take before God and go before God and ask God to just speak to us, work in, and when we make any decision and change certain things that do what we do, that's between you and God, all right? Because God knows. So it's for our spirit. You see, when we look in the light of what the world is trying to get us to do, things that is not honoring God, that is will not glorify God, that will make us become more and more foolish, you know, like video game and all those kind of things, you know. In any case, just take note of this, that it is for our own spiritual protection and moral protection. It's for our own good, so that we can have a continuous fellowship with God, so that we will have no issue with God for that matter. The next thing we want to look at it is that as far as this matter of separation, it is good because there is an association that goes with it. Because it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners. Sometimes we underestimate the power of influence, especially in the environment where we are day in, day out in. No choice, we work in an environment. For example, we are the only Christian and the rest are unsaved. And the culture and whatever that is of that working environment that you're in is constantly influencing you bit by bit, you know. Like what I said earlier, slowly cook your conscience, cook your sensitivity towards the Word of God and all those kind of things. And gradually, we become like one of them. We talk like one of them. We act like one of them. Have you ever seen young children? Very, very simple. Young children. You can teach them all the right thing at home. But when they go to school and they spend so many hours with the peers, and when they come back home, you will observe one thing. Why out of the blue you speak so different, not like yourself at home? Some lingo has changed. Some kind of thing that they pick up, they say it's very funny, very fun, very cute, very this, whatever it is. You know, in a certain way, as adult, we go through something more sophisticated, like, you know. And sometimes we rationalize, sometimes we, you know, allow it. So as far as this part of the scripture, you find that it says, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Of course, before that, we talked about in last week, the putting on and the putting off. The principle of if you put off something that doesn't glorify God, doesn't please God, you must replace it with something that will help you to glorify, praise God, thank God, and all those. Because if you don't do that, it's just a matter of time you go back to that same problem again. Okay? But the key thing here is the influence. All right? The association that goes with it. If you don't separate, you associate with that thing, whatever environment and people, eventually it will influence you. I was trying to look for the word. It's very, very classic. Chinese saying is so true, and in fact, some of them is so biblical. I think Brother Desmond mentioned before, 近朱者赤, 近墨者黑. Means you follow those are white, you'll be white. You follow those are black, you'll be black, eventually. Chinese, this saying is, don't know how many years ago, way before even our time. But truth is forever. Truth never changes in time. But it's just that it comes in different form, that's all. In a sense, we experience the truth, the truth said in a different form. Our clothing may change, our environment may be more modernized, more technological and everything. But the issue is still the same. The truth still applies to the issue. So there is this matter of association, all right? It's positive because it helps us not to have that kind of influence. And you put a good apple among the rotten apple, very soon it becomes rotten also. Then there is this heart matter. We mentioned a lot about this because in this 2 Timothy here, it says that with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, all right? If the heart is right, the believer will respond positively to the Lord's command to separate from evil. No issue. Brother David Cloud gave an example. When he got saved, he kept his long hair. And one day he went tracking with someone and a lady. Or for the matter, he knocked on the door, I think either way. And when the old lady saw his long hair, the old lady very straightforward saying, "You know, young man, it's not befitting for a Christian to have that long hair." And that convicted Brother David Cloud. And because he has a love relationship with God, and his mind, his heart was that he wants to do right. He has no problem. Straight away, he went for his haircut, and he get it done. So sometimes when we think of separation, it is about the heart. It is about the heart. If our heart is right with God, if our heart is always thanking God, praising God, and appreciating all that, and knowing that we are what we are is by the grace of God, and that there is the matter of, "Lord, I love you, and whatever you say, Lord, with all my heart, I want to do what that will honor." And that is the basis of what you are doing, then this one will not be an issue. Pure heart, doing whatever that because there is a relationship that is so close that you yearn to please God, that you yearn to want to do that which will honor and glorify God. There's no problem with that. All right? Then there is a matter of replacement, like I mentioned earlier, putting on, putting off, all right? Because there is that, if you look at the verse, "Flee also youthful lusts," then they what? "Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace." In the epistle of Paul, they mention a lot about this putting on, putting off, putting on, putting off. All right, we have the old man, we have the new man. Do away with the old man, but the new man must come in and grow the new man must be the dominant one in our life so that our lifestyle, everything will be changed. All right, so positively, the separation is for our own good as far as that's concerned. And then when we look at this matter of separation again, the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 to 15, which I didn't put it in your note because I want to squeeze the page. Let me just read to you. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men," what? "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This thing speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." When we think about separation, we're not being legalistic. We're not being like following a set of do and don't. We're just following what naturally comes from God and the will of God for our life. You know? As in this verse, "Salvation has come to me. Praise the Lord. I experience God's grace, God's love. My life changed. Sin no longer is my master. The Lord Jesus Christ is my master. And because of that, I'm free from a lot of problems. You know, headache, brokenness, a lot of issue. Thank God, it's all behind. No longer all this plague me and burden me and cause me to live a life of misery, of hopelessness, of desperation or whatever. But There is that. And then, when God says that you are to follow this set of lifestyle, you know, that is something that I want you to put on in order to identify yourself as a, to me, towards me. No longer you are the same. You have to change, because if no change, that doesn't make any sense. And when we think about changing and doing, living the kind of life that God for us, we are telling God to say, God, all that you are doing in my life, the Lord Jesus went to the cross to die for my sin, his blood was shed, and my sin was forgiven, I have a hope in heaven. We live according to what was done and how we are supposed to live, so that God can continue to bless us and we can maintain that fellowship and also fulfill God's purpose. What is the purpose of God saving us? Generally, there are two. One is to glorify God. The other one is to be like Christ. How can we be like Christ and glorify God if we are not practical saints on this earth? There is this change, there is this lifestyle, there is this thing that people can see, that you are different. You are like what your faith says you are. And they see Christ in you. And then because you live a Christ-likeness life, of course you equate godliness and then you glorify God. So that's what it means here. It's not legalism. It is something that is just right of us as Christian, as believer, to express our faith in such a way. All right? And then separation also is wisdom. 1 Peter 5:7 says that casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Because when we separate, we avoid the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it protects us in a way that the devil has no way of using us as instrument of the flesh to fulfill all this. Because, like it or not, every day when we stand before this world, these are the things that will come to us, to get into us, so that we will live in the flesh. It's for you to consider and meditate and think and look into it in your own life and observe how the world has been and, you know, what it's doing. If you don't see it, it's very hard for you to appreciate. Because, like I mentioned last week, truth and reality, when you put them side by side together, it is coherent. It supports one another. Truth is reality. Reality is true. You can't run. If truth and reality is not in harmony, it contradicts, something is wrong with the truth. And that's one thing you will find in the Bible. Whenever you what the Bible says and everything, that's why no one can fault the Bible. Because in reality, there's nothing you can find fault about what the Bible says. Okay? The truth. And then, to finish it, the last two. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, the Bible tells us, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, are sinners, and made higher than the heaven. All right? We also make us Christ-like and not un-Christ-like. All right? Because Christ is holy and separated from sin at all times. When we look at there are people who use us. Let's consider this thing. Because there are people who will use this, even our Lord Jesus Christ, as an argument. They say that our Lord Jesus Christ was among the sinners. All right? And he related with the sinners. Why can't we just go and be with the world and relate with them? But the problem that we don't see is, as far as Jesus is concerned, he is with the sinner to do what God wants him to do, that is to reach out to them, but not participating and being involved. He makes a stand as far as, you know, our sin is concerned. All right. Of course, there are people who would advocate and do something for us to go and think about. In order to reach someone, if he goes to the bar, we just follow him to the bar, and then, you know, so that we have an opportunity to witness to the person and all those. Of course, there are other issue of testimony, all right? The issue of stumbling some younger Christian and all those kind of things, all right? I don't think it is right to do wrong in order to do right. You must do right to do right. There are many times we have this problem in doing wrong in order to do right. So, as far as separation, it helps us to be Christ-like. It's not un-Christ-like. All right? And this, what do you call that? This brother David Clark gave an example of even our Lord Jesus Christ when there's this woman caught in the act of adultery and brought before him, how he forgave her and then also instructed her to what? Sin no more. And so when we talk about Christ-likeness, separation, people will tell us that you make yourself so special, so different and whatever it is. It's not like Christ. Christ won't do that, you know. But that's not true. Yes, Christ is with the sinner, but he never participates in anybody. In any case, there is any problem with the association, Christ has never... You never find Christ associated with the sinner and have problem with the matter of the... So there's a wisdom that we need to apply, okay? And finally, separation is so unpopular, somebody may say. Which is true, because 2 Timothy 4, chapter 3, verse 4 tells us, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Have you ever come across when you tell a Christian, "Hey, this is something that you should not be engaging in, not supposed to be with, and this and that, and all those kind of things," and then they turn around and say, "Why are you so judgmental? Why are you, you know, so holier than thou and so self-righteous and all those?" And because people don't like to be told doing the thing that they like doing, you know. So we need to be very careful not to start off with that kind of very adversary kind of, very hostile kind of, you know. But rather, perhaps we can just gently remind them, well, you know, the Bible did tell us that as believer, this is what we're supposed to present the truth, you know, in a meek, in a gracious and loving way, and say, then between you and God, you decide. Is that how you... In many ways, separation is very unpopular. Next week after next, when we talk about separation again, the part on doctrinal separation, where even as church, we also have to separate from different... that's where this thing become even more unpopular. And of course, there will be a lot of back and forth about people who take the stand of separation are being pointed as unloving, not Christ-like, and all those kind of things. But with this, I'd like to just conclude to say that separation on the individual, as far as moral, the world is a big thing in our faith. And if we don't look at this seriously and carefully and come out with a clear understanding and conviction as to how we should relate to this world and live in this world. In the Bible, I believe there's many teaching about our attitude about going through life in this world. You know, that we are pilgrims, that we are sojourners, that we're just passing through, that our real home is in heaven, not here. So how should our attitude be? How should we? But as we pass through, we still need to have a role and have a responsibility for the kingdom of God, the gospel, be the light of the world and all those kind of things. So this separation will enable us to be able to live this Christian faith and impact this world in the way God wants us to impact, and without any kind of conflict and struggle and fighting and all those kind of things. Many a time I believe as Christian, we face a lot of problems living the Christian life is because of the way we live our life in this world and how we relate with this world, all right? Next week, we're going to start on this new subject about testing of entertainment, which is another thing that I hope you will take some time to think about it, and then it's a good thing. We can come and discuss and participate and share. And for the Lord's work, I mean, for His word to be able to make known with regards to that, and then the Lord will sort of use that to ground or to help us to live the kind of life that will be described as the abundant life, you know. All right, with that, let's close in a word of prayer and just thank the Lord for this time. Father, we are so thankful your word has been made known to us concerning this very important issue, because we are in this world. Whether we like it or not, we have to deal with the matter of how we live in this world and our attitude and our response to the way the world is trying to get us to live like them. And also, Lord, in the teaching that you have given to us, that how we are not to love the world, not to conform to the thinking of the world, and also be a friend of the world, and many aspects of how we need to learn to, with love, with fear of the Lord and honoring you, to separate ourselves from the world, because it's a way that we will be protected, that our fellowship with you will be preserved and promoted, Lord, and that there will be no hindrance, and so that we can live our Christian life here on earth in a manner that will be abundant, and there will be joy with purpose and usefulness, and that we may be able to fulfill your will for us, Lord, as we live in this world. Father, I just pray for each and every one of us. Even thank you for some of the questions that has been raised. We pray, Lord, that there will be a spirit of seeking the truth and wanting to know the truth, and the truth will help us to free ourselves from certain bondage and certain error and certain lies that we've been believing, and even from the grip of Satan. Lord, that we pray that you'll be honored, that even in every one of us, that something will happen and things will change towards this teaching. Father, just thank you now. Even as we take a little break and prepare for the morning service, we pray that you bless the fellowship time. And even some of the brethren here may have something to want to further bring up, that they'll bless the discussion, Lord. Just commit all these things to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.